Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Tezayin. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Harriet Pokras. I don't have her Hebrew name. We're also learning Le'ilu Nishmas Harry's Wybel Tzvi Ben Moshe Eliezer. All the Nishons we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We start today's share 4 lines on the top of Tezayin Omer Aleph with words Omar Rava. Rava tells us as follows. And right away we have a gears of change over here. We'll follow the gears of the Bach because the gears that we have in the Gemara is a little bit disorganized. It seems to repeat the same question. So we'll follow the gears of the Bach over here in Os Aleph. Amar Rava minolon de kavinon duchta umishadrinon shlicha de beidina. Here we're going to discuss how we go about subpoenaing somebody to come to a court order, to come to a Beis Din. So the Gemara says, how do we know that we go and send a place to a person to appear at, and that we send a shaliach to go and subpoena him to come to the court. So, the chsib, because the pasuk tells us, and here we go back to our Gemara, Vayishlach Moshe likro l'dason v'aviron b'nei Eliyav. When Moshe had the sichsuch with Korach v'adato, so he sent them to a din Torah, and he sent messengers, Vayishlach Moshe, to go and call Dason and Aviron b'nei Eliyav to come to him. Now the Bach deletes the next words because we had already discussed that in the invitation. How do we know that you send a shliach? So minolun dimazman minon ladino seems to be repetitive. That's why I said the girsa that we have seems to be a little bit duplicative. So the next thing is dirsiv vayom moshe korach atov chol adosucha. How do you know that they have to come to the Beis Din and that the Beis Din doesn't have to go to them? So we see it from over here. Moshe said to Korach, you have to come lifnei Hashem mochar. So that's what the rest of the pasuk says. Vayom Moshe Korach Atova Chol Ados Koy Yulif Nei Hashem Atova Heim the Aaron Mocharin Mudash. The rest of this pasuk now. So Lekame Gavra Rabba. How do we know that you have to come in front of a important Beis Din? They can't just blow you off. You're saying you're coming in front of such and such a great Beis Din because the pasuk says Dechsiv Lifnei Hashem. As I pointed out, the end of that pasuk said that they would go. So they're saying that they're going in front of Hashem. In other words, you have to tell the litigant, the one who's being subpoenaed, that you're appearing before such and such a great court. Then it says, how do we know that you have to inform both sides who's coming? So it says, at uplanya, how do we know that you have to tell them you're going to be involved in this litigation, so-and-so is going to be involved in the litigation? Because the pasuk says, atova heim v'yaron. So, dechsib, it tells us that you have to come, korach v'adaso, and you're going to be up against Aaron, who is, so to say, calling you to court because you're claiming that he isn't the right person to be calling God. It's nepotism, and that when Moshe picked the other high officers, there was nepotism, and he didn't pick Korach and his family. It was prejudiced against them, so therefore, you have to tell them, well, this is what the court is going to be. You're coming, and this is the other side. The Kavinan Zimna, and we know that there's a set time that they're told to come. It's not when they come whenever they want, because the pots are against. They'll say, Machar, you have to appear, Lefnei Hashem, Atov Ehem, V'Aron, Machar. So the pasuk tells us you have to set a set time, dechsiv machar. And how do we know that if they don't show up the first time, you give them another chance? Zimna, basa zimna. If they don't show up the first time, they were summoned to come to court. So we give them one more chance. So here we have a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, dechsiv. It says, Karu sham paro melech mitzrayim sha'on ha'avir ha'moed. So they called out to Paro, who was the king of Mitzrayim, and he had a set time that he was supposed to come, and he didn't let that time go, so they invited him again. Rashi explains that this Karusham they called out to him was Shamta. They put him into Cherem, a certain type of Cherem known as Shamta. We'll discuss later in the Shia today the different types of Cherem. We've mentioned them previously, and you have Nidui, you have Shamta, and you have Cherem. According to many, that's the order. Nidui is the least severe type of excommunication. Then you have Shamta, so the higher level of excommunication. Then you have Cherem, which is the highest level of excommunication. In any event, they were calling out to Paro because he didn't show up when he was supposed to. Shavir HaMoed, Klomai, Rashi says, Shavir Oso Moed, Shesamu O Acha. He didn't show up the first time, and he didn't show up the second time. So therefore, they wanted to put him into Shamta. In any event, Mark continues, says, and how do we know? The misfakar bishlicha de beidina, that the person is chutzpedik to the shliach of the Beis Din. Rashi says, kloma shecheref shliach Beis Din for shliach omar chirfani. So they made fun, they embarrassed, they said to this shliach that who are you to tell us to do, and they glower at him. So the osiv omar, and then he goes and tells, as Rashi says, he goes and tells the Beis Din, listen, this is what this guy, this litigant said about me. So lo mischazei kalishnabi, said that the person, the shliach, when he tattles, so to say, on the litigants for not treating him properly, not treating Lysa, that that's not called Lishna Bish, that's not called Lashon Hara. When he comes back and tells the court, this is what the litigant said about you, about me, Lo Mischazik Lishna Bish, it's not called Lashon Hara, because they'll say, because we have Heine Hanashim Mohaim to not care. After Moshe and Aaron said to Dosan Aviron, I want you to come to the Beistin, so Dosan Aviron said to the Shlichim, but they didn't say to Moshe Rabbeinu, he told him, Hainei Anashim Haim to not care, lo na lev. He said, we're going to poke out the eyes, we're not coming. So how did Moshe Rabbeinu know that? Obviously, the Shlichim told him that. So therefore, you see that it's not considered Lashon Hara for the Shlichim to go and repeat what they were told by the parties to the litigation that weren't coming in and were saying bad things to them. More continues, says, Uminolan, and how do we know the Mishamtino, that we can put them into a Shamta, that we can do some sort of a excommunication to them if they're acting inappropriately? Again, as I mentioned, according to most, you have the three levels. You start off with the lower level, Nidoy, Shamta is the next level, Chayrim is the highest level. Others say, though, that there are only two levels, there's Nidoy and there's Chayrim, and Shamta is the generic term. In any event, Uminolan, the Mishamtino, and how do we know that we go and do some sort of a Shamta on them, some sort of an excommunication on them, if they don't listen to the subpoena? So they'll say, because the Pasuk says, now this is a Pasuk that we have from Shoftim, where this either person, Meiros, or we'll see, means something else. It's either general Meiros, or it means the stars in Shemayim, that they didn't come and assist Baruch and Devorah. So it says over there, Oru Meiros. That's the part of the Pasuk that we're quoting over here. The whole Pasuk says, Oru Meiros, Amar Malach Hashem, Oru Aror, Yoshveha, Kilobo, Li'ezras Hashem, Li'ezras Hashem, Bagiborim. So they didn't come. Meiros and his associates didn't come, so therefore they were cursed over here. So therefore they were put into a cherem. This is Oru Meiros is the equivalent of a shamta. So you see, if you don't show up, then you can be put into shamta. Kumar continues and says, and we have to tell the person that this great beis din put you in shamta. Dochi Svara the Gavarabba, we have to tell him that this was the psak of a great beis din, because that pasuk said to say Omar Malach Hashem. In that pasuk where they were cursed, it says Omar Malach Hashem. So therefore, you have to tell them that this came from such a great beis din led by such a great person, and not the decision of the shaliach himself. Uminolan de mechamirinan. And how do we know that we can even put them into a higher level of chayim? Shamta, we said, was a lower level of chayim, or an unclear level of chayim. It could be any level of chayim. How do we know that you put them into the highest level of chayim? Again, there are different halachos in regarding to what level of chayim you're in, which we'll learn a little bit more about in later today's share. In any event, how do we know that you're even allowed to put them into chayim, not just shamto or nidoy? Tichsiv, oru, aror, because the pasuk continues and it goes not only oru meiros, it says oru, aror, implying additional levels of chayim. And how do we know the ochel, the shasi by day, the koi by arabamos the day, that you're not allowed to do that? How do we know that a person who would put into chayim, so the other people aren't allowed to eat and drink with him, and they're not even allowed to be standing within dalet amos of him? How do we know that the other people aren't allowed to do that? Because the pasuk says, "Dilsiv yoshevel." It's as well telling us that the rest of the people are also included in this ban on this person yoshevel, because the pasuk says all the other people as well are obligated to adhere to this ban. And the Gemara continues and says, "Uminolon the." Partinon chete bitzibura. How do we know that we specify what sin he did to everybody, and it's not considered inappropriate? Lishna bishta again, that you're not allowed to go normally and say things about people, but here you're mechuyev to say things about people. They'll say it because the pasuk says, again, the end of this pasuk, you have to specify what they did wrong, that they were put into chayim. Kilo ba'o li'ezus Hashem. They didn't come to the Ezus Hashem, and therefore we specify what they did wrong. Ula says, Yama Ula, the Arba Meyashipare, Shamte Baruch Lemeiros, that in addition, we do it with a shofar. We want to publicize this, so therefore they blew shofars. They blew 400 shofars, and they publicized this excommunication of Meiros. In other words, you did this with great publicity. Now the Gemara says, who exactly was Meiros? So Ika the Amre Gavra Rabahava, some say he was a great general, he was a great person, he was a physical person, and others say no, the Ika the Amre, that this was Kochavahava, that this was the Kochav Meiros that didn't go and fight this battle as the other constellations and stars did. Shenemar, Mina Shamayim Nilchamu HaKochavim. The other stars went and battled, and we have the famous statement over here, Rabbeinu Hanan alludes to it, Ayish al bonea tinochem. So the idea over here was that the stars moved their position, the constellations changed, they moved their position. That caused great heat to come, and Sisera and all of his army were very, very hot in their armor, and they jumped into the water. The water was boiling, and it killed all his 900 chariots, his tanks, and the victory was from Shemayim. So that's Minas Shemayim, Nuchamu HaKochavim. So Meroz apparently was either one of the constellations or was the Malach in charge of that, and he refused to go and do battle, so therefore it was Arur Meroz. Since we just mentioned the Rabbeinu Chananel, I'll point out the Rabbeinu Chananel before said that the Yoshveha, all the friends, you put them in Cherem also. It's not only that they're not allowed to eat and drink and be within Dalai Lamas. If they don't listen to the Cherem, you put them in Cherem as well. Gemara continues and says, and how do we know Minolo and Dimeth Karino Nirse that the person who's put into Cherem, if he continues to stay in Cherem and continues to be a Chutzbedik person, that you're allowed to go and be Mafkir all of his property because of the principle of Hefker based in Hefker. So Dirsiv, because the Pasuk tells us, V'chol asher lo yavo, l'shloshes hayomim, now we have the word Be'atzas, but the Pasuk really should be Katzas asorim vaskenim, Yochoram koruchusho v'yibodo mikal ha'ga'ola. Now here it's Ezra. This was at the time that Klai Yisrael was coming back at the end of the 70 years of Golos Bavel, and many people were very happy where they were, and the people that did come back, they unfortunately were the least religious, and they had married Goyish wives, and Ezra told them, you better listen to me, and if you don't, there's going to be a tremendous loss of your property, or your property is going to be taken away, Yochram Koruchusho, who you bought me, Kalagola, and you won't be able to be with the rest of the Kehillah, you'll be put into Cherem. So here you see clearly that you're allowed to be Mafkir there in Chosin. The Gemara continues in this discussion and says, Uminolon did not see none. How do we know that you're also allowed to go and fight with these people? We have this week's parsha, Ki Natsu Anoshim, two people are fighting. So how do we know that you're entitled and allowed to go and fight with these people if they're not following the rules of the Beis Din? And furthermore, Velaitinan, you can even go and curse them. And Umochinan, you can even go and give them a zatz, you're allowed to go and hit them. And furthermore, Besalshinan Seyar, and you're allowed to go and pull out their hair. You're allowed to go and embarrass them. Umashbiinan, and you're allowed to go and force them to make a shvut to say that they won't do this again. So all of these things the basin has the power to do, how do we know that? So Dirsiv, because we have a passage from Nehemiah, again, dealing with the people coming back and not wanting to divorce their Goyish wives. Dirsiv, Va'ariv imam, it says that I will be allowed to fight with them. Va'kalalel, and I will go and curse them. Va'kemehem, anoshim, I will go and hit them. Then retain, I will pull out the hair, Va'ashbim, and I will cause them to make a shua that they won't do this again. In other words, all of the things that we just said that you're allowed to do are clearly demonstrated in this passage from Nehemiah. Marketing says, and how do we know that you're even allowed to go tie them up if they don't listen to what we're saying they should do? And this means that you go and put them onto the whipping post and you give them Malkus Maidus, you give them Malkus the Rabbanan. How do we know that if they don't follow what they're supposed to do, so then the rabbis have the power to actually go give them lashes? And likewise, we do Hardoffa. The Gemara will explain in a moment what Hardoffa is. And first, the Gemara says the source for this that you're allowed to do, the tying them up and giving them lashes, and then doing this hardofa, literally means hardofa, to run after them. Dirsiv, because the Pasuk tells us, this is again from Ezra, dealing with the time coming back from Golus Bavel, and it says, Hain lemos, hain lishroshi, hain la'anosh, nichsin lesurin. So the Pasuk specifically says that you're allowed to go put them even to death, you're allowed to go and uproot them, we'll see the word Lishroshi, it means what it means in a second, and you're allowed to go give them punishments on their property, and you're allowed to go and tie them up or imprison them. So all of these things are permitted based upon this pasuk in Yechezkel. So first, before we explain what the word Hadotha means, we explain my Lishroshi. What does the word Lishroshi mean? To be Misharish them, to uproot them. So Amar Adamari, Amar Nehemiah Bar Baruch, Adamari said the name of Nehemiah Bar Baruch, and he said in the name of Amar Rochia bar Oven, Amar Yehuda, Hardofa, the Sharushe, that's what Hardofa means, that you go and uproot them, that means to go and chase after them to uproot them. So the Gemara says, my Hardofa, what exactly does Hardofa mean? So Amar Yehuda, Berei de Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, Mishmei de Rav, Minadin la'altar, means that you put them into Nidui immediately. That's the first lowest level of excommunication. You put them into Nidui. There's actually a level before that called the Zifa, which we'll talk about as well. But the first real formal form of an excommunication is called Nidui. So Minadin li'alter, immediately, if they don't listen to something, so then you put them into Nidui. V'shonin li'achar shloshim, and then you're allowed to go put them into Nidui again after 30 days if they don't ask for forgiveness, if they don't apologize for what they did. And then after that, either after two times, or some suggest after three times, or machrimin li'achar shishim. And then after 60 days, some say it's 60 in addition to the first 30, others say it's after two times, after 60 days, then you go put them into the highest level form of excommunication, which is called chayrim. in this progression, either you don't put them into Shamta, you can go straight from Nidui into Chayrim, or this goes like the opinion that says that Shamta is a generic term for either Nidui or Chayrim, but it's not a separate category in and of itself. That's the opinion that we brought down over here in the name of Yehuda, Breda, Rav Shmuel, Bar Shelas, in the name of Rav. Amalei Rav Huna Bar Chinina says, Hachem Rav Chisda disagrees with that. And he says, Masrin Be'Sheni, the Chamishi, the Sheni. He says, no, you don't do this over 30 days, 30 days, and 30 days. You do this on a Monday, you then do it again on a Thursday, and you do it again on a Monday. The simple understanding over here is that he disagrees totally with this idea of waiting 30 days, 30 days, and 30 days, but you do it just on a Monday. If he doesn't listen, you do it again on a Thursday. If he doesn't listen, you do it again in full chayim on a Monday. That's a simple understanding over here. Others explain that, no, the only argument over here is that you first go straight into a nidui and put him into nidui right away on day one, or do you first warn him on a Monday, and then you warn him on a Thursday, and then you warn him again on a Monday? If he didn't listen, then you put him into Nidui on the following Monday. So therefore, the machlokis over here is either it's a total machlokis, it's just Monday, Thursday, Monday, versus 30 days, 30 days, 30 days, or, as everybody agrees, it's a 30-day, 30-day, 30-day process, but the argument is, do you have this preliminary type of a process of a Monday, Thursday, Monday? So Rav Huna Bar Chinina says the name of Chista, yes, you do. And the first opinion that's wrote down, Mishmei the Rav, said, no, you don't. Now the Gemara says, Hani Mila Lamamona, this idea that you have to wait this period of time, the Monday, Thursday, Monday, is only when it's dealing with monetary matters. Avo Lav Kirusa, but if they were chutzpedik to a Tam Chacham, then La'alta, then you don't have this, warn them on Monday, warn them again on Thursday, warn them again on Monday. No. You put him right away into a nidoy if he was chutzpedik to a Talmud Chacham. Now we have a couple of Maisa Shahayas that we're going to come up in the Shia today. First one is as follows. Hau Tabacha, there once was a butcher. The Ispakar, he was chutzpedik. Ispakar means he was acted like in a hefker manner. He was chutzpedik by Rav Tuvi by Masna. He was very chutzpedik to Rav Tuvi by Masna. So, Imnu Alei Abaye v'Rava. So they set up a basin, including amongst them Abaye and Rava. Obviously, there was a third person in the basin, but more frequently, when you're dealing with such great personalities, so it won't mention the lesser personality amongst them, but it's obvious that they had a beis din. So it only mentions Abaye v'Rava, and there was a third person who was on what was a great Talmud Chacham, probably was on the level of Abaye and Rava, therefore his name is not mentioned. In any event, this beis din consisting of Abaye, Rava, and this other person, Vishatuu, they put this butcher, this Hau Tabacha, into a Shamta because he was Chutzvedik to Rav Tobi Bar Masna. Lasov also paise lebal dine. Eventually, the butcher over here was having charata, and he apologized to Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, and he said, "I'm very sorry for the way I acted towards you." And lasov also paise lebal dine. So they asked Amar Abaye, "Hech levit? Now, what should we do? The 30 days that we put him into the shamta aren't up yet. So lishrei lei, should we remove him from the shamta? Lochol shamta lei plus in yomin. It hasn't been 30 days, and when we put him into Shamta, doesn't it have to be for 30 days? Or do we say, how can we not take him out of this Shamta? Lo lishrilei, we should not take him out. After all, kabal rabbanon, the girsa we have is lemeyal. Now, there are a couple of different interpreters based upon whether the girsa over here is lemeyal, or as the Vilna Gaon says, the girsa should be lemezal. Now, there are two ways to understand this. Do we say that these rabbis have to go someplace else? Abaye, Verova, and this third person, they're not going to be here at the end of the 30 days. And therefore, they need to have the same beis din that put him into the Shamta to go and release him. But they won't be here 30 days from now. And therefore, it's better that that same beis din release him right now rather than not be able to release him at the end of the 30 days because they're not around. And another beis din cannot go and release him. That's the second shot that the Sivriyad Rashi tells us over here. In Lo Tatir Akshav, we don't go and release him now from the Shamta. Lo Uchalatira Od Shachachamim Sheskimu Imo Benidui Rotsenli Poter Meolai V'Lelech L'Darkom L'Yoreim. So for argument's sake, this third time of Chavon that was with Abaye and Rava, he had to go, and therefore he wouldn't be around in 30 days. So therefore, maybe we should go release him right now. That's the second shot that Ksiv Rashi brings down. The first shot that Ksiv Rashi brings down is based upon the Girsa that we have Lemeyal, and Lavo Lebeso Shetrichem Lo. We need this butcher over here. He's the one that supplies all of us with meat, and if we don't allow him to come out of Shamta, then we're not going to have meat. So therefore, we need him. So therefore, since he did, after all, apologize, so let's take him out of the Chayim. So that's the question over here. Are they allowed to end the Chayrim, the Shamta, before the 30-day period is up or not? So, Amalei l'Rabbi Idi Barovin, Midei Shmi'aloch Boha. So they asked Rav Idi Bar Oben, maybe he knew the answer. Abaye and Rava didn't apparently know the answer to this question. So they asked someone else, the Rabbi Idi Bar Oben, are we allowed to end the Shamta within the 30-day period of time, or do we have to wait till the end of the 30-day period of time? So Ravidi Bar Rabin tells them, Omar Leh, Hochi Omar Rav Tachlifa Bar Avimi, Omar Shmuel. This is the opinion that Rav Tachlifa Bar Avimi said in the name of Shmuel, that in fact, Tut Osar, the shofar made him Osar, they blew shofar when they put him into Shamta, that we said previously, you have to publicize this. So therefore, the Tut Shari, and if you blow the shofar now, you can publicize it as well, and release him before the 30 days are up. The reason why you have to publicize it is because people will know that they put him into the Shamta for the 30-day period of time. Then they see him walking around and talking with everybody and not being in Shamta 15 days later, they're going to say, oh, rabbis really don't have the power to do this. They're not going to know that they undid the Shamta. So therefore, you have to publicize putting him into Shamta, and you have to also publicize taking him out of the Shamta. So therefore, it seems that you don't have to wait for the full 30 days. As long as you publicize it, you can go do this earlier than 30 days. Abaya, however, did not like this answer of Ravidi Bar Rabin. Amalei says to him, Hani Milah Ma'oma, that Shmuel had made a statement that was only in regards to a dini mamonos, into a monetary matter where they didn't follow the rules, but they weren't chutzpah there, but they just didn't follow the psak din, so they were put into shamta, and that, if they then follow the psak of the beis din, so then you can take them out of the shamta before the 30 days are up. Avol afki rusa, but if you're dealing over here with them being chutzpah to a tam chochem, and that's what happened over here, this tabach was chutzpah, so then, ad the chaylo shamta alei tlos in yomun, you're not allowed to go take him out of the shamta before the 30-day period is up, because it's a punishment for this person, and even though he apologized, he has to serve out the full sentence, he has to serve out the punishment. So Shmuel's words only apply to Dini Mamonos, but wouldn't apply to a Chutzpahdik situation. Alma, Kasav Rabbi, Hani Beit Losa, the Shamitu, Lo Osu Tlosa Achrini, Visharule. You see from over here that from the fact that Abaya was concerned that maybe they won't have the same three people to go take him out of the Chayrim, so that was his question, are you allowed to do it early? But he ultimately posked that you're not allowed to do it early, so you see that he wouldn't allow another Beis Din to go and take him out of the Shamta. You need to have the original Beis Din take him out. The ones that put him into the Chayrim have to take him out of the Chayrim. The ones that put him into the Shamta have to take him out of the Shamta. The boy who they asked this shaila in the base medrash, Hane beit losu de shamitu maul meisei tlosa achrine v'sholei. That's the exact question from this maisa. We see what Abai held, but they asked the question of the base medrash: is this true? Does the same three people that put him into the shamta have to be the same three people that take him out of the shamta? So Toshma, we want to bring a right from the following Brisa. Menuda l'Rav, the Brisa tells us that if a Rav puts somebody into a Nidoy, so then the Talmidim of this Rav certainly have to follow along with that Nidoy and not deal with that person as if he wasn't a Nidoy. Menuda l'Talmid. So if the Rav did this, it's a cover for the Talmidim. They should follow what their Rav did, and therefore this person that was put into Nidoy has to be in Nidoy not only for the Rav, but also for all the Talmidim. As opposed to Menuda l'Talmid, if one of the Talmidim put somebody into Nidoy, so the Rav, Lav Davka, has to follow along with that. Eino Menuda l'Rav, that person who was put into Nidoy doesn't necessarily have to act as if he's excommunicated when he's dealing with the Rav, of the person that put him into Nidoy. Likewise, Menuda l'Iro, if a certain city puts somebody into Nidoy in their city, so then Menuda l'Iro Acheres, and the next city has to follow along with that Nidoy. However, if the other city put somebody from your city into Nidoy, Menuda Lira Cheres, the city that's next to you, put this guy into Nidoy, Lav Davka, does the city that he lives in have to follow that? Eino Menuda L'Iro, doesn't automatically apply to the city that he lives in. Similarly, Menuda L'Nasi, if the Nasi puts somebody into Nidoy, so then Menuda Kol Yisrael, that everybody has to follow, everybody's subordinate to the Nasi, if the Nasi put him into Nidoy, so all of Kol Yisrael has to treat this person as if he's in Nidoy, but the other way around, not necessarily so. Even though all of Kol Yisrael put this person into Nidoy, Menuda Kol Yisrael, nevertheless, ain't a Menuda L'Nasi. The Nasi is, so to say, above the din, and if he wishes to, he doesn't have to treat this person as if he's in Nidoy. And along comes Rav Shimon Gamliel, and he adds, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Echad Min HaTalmidim Shenidoy V'Meis. He says, if one of the Talmidim put somebody into Nidoy, and then the person passed away, the Talmid Chacham who put him into Nidoy as part of the Beis Din passed away, so now you have only two of the members of that Beis Din that are still alive, Chalko Eino Mufar. You can't go and have somebody else come along and be Mayfair, so to say, this Nidoy on behalf of the Talmid Chacham that passed away, who was part of the Beis Din. So clearly, you see from over here, Shmami not Tlos. You see three things from over here, including the answer to our question, can another Beis Din come along and be Matir, the Shamto, the Nidoy, that the first Beis Din had put him in? So number one, Shmami not Talmid Shenidoy L'Chvodo, Niduy Niduyo. So you see, number one, that even a Talmid can put somebody into Niduy, even though he's not the Rav, but if he's a Talmid Chacham, and somebody does something wrong to him, he can go, if that person was chutzpahdik to him, even the Talmid can put that person in Niduy. Number one. Number two, Shmamino Kol Echad V'Echad made for Chalko. We see from this story that every person on the basin has to be made for his chalik. So there were three people in the basin. Each of them has to go be made for his portion, i.e., his doing of putting that person into Nidui. They have to do it, and somebody else can't do it for them. And Shmami number three, Hani Beit Losa de Shamitu Lo Asut Losa Achrine Vesharule. From the fact that we said that if the person Nebuch died, so he has to be the one to put him out of the Cherem, so you can't have somebody else come along. So you see clearly the answer to our question that the three judges that originally put him into Cherem have to be the three judges that release him from the Cherem. So this Brisa seems to be in accord with what Abai said. However, Amar Meimar, Abai said, no, we don't pass like that. Hilchasa, Hani Beit Losa de Shamitu, also Beit Losa Achrini Vesharule. He says, no, the halacha is, in fact, the opposite. That even though the first three put him into Nidui, you can have a separate three to take him out of Nidui. So Meimar disagrees with the way Abai understood. Amalei Ravashi LaMeimar. Ravashi says to Meimar, Vatanya, but we just learned in this Brisa, you're an Amora, you're a great Amora, but you can't argue with the Brisa. Vatanya, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Echem Na Tamidim Shenida Umeis, Chalko Eino Mufar. My lot Eino Mufar Klal doesn't mean that it can't be ever Mufar. If that person who put him into Nidui passed away, so that's it. You have to wait till the Nidui is over. It's not going to be able to be annulled or revoked before then. So, how can you argue with this Brisa Meimar? So Meimar answers, low. He says, no, you misunderstood the way that Brisa is selling us. It doesn't say that Ein Chelko Mufar Klal, it can never be Mufar. It means Ad Osu Beit Losa Achrine B'Sharole. It can't be ever revoked by that person. Nebuchadnezzar passed away, but somebody else could come along, another basin could come along and go and get rid of that Nidui. That would be allowed. Nadimor says, furthermore, Tana Rabban, we learn the following Brisa, Ein Nidui Pachos Mishloshim Yom. How long does a normal Nidui last for? It normally lasts for Shloshim Yom. And then we had mentioned previously that there was a lesser level of excommunication. It's not really an excommunication. They Nezifa. Nezifa is like a criticism of the person's action. He should be embarrassed by his actions. He's rebuked for his actions. A Nezifa, Pachos Mishloshim Yom. That is Shiva Yom. That's 7 days. Not 30 days like a Nidui, but it's only 7 days. V'afa b'shein Raila Dover. And even though we don't have a full-fledged proof, because the pasuk that we're going to bring down is talking about Saras. It's not really talking about Nezifa, but nevertheless, we use this as a Raya to this concept of 7 days from the Maisa of Miriam when she spoke on her unbelievably high level. What she did is speaking about her brother, that saying, how could he not be married? He apparently divorced Zipporah's wife, and Miriam was upset that he had done so, and said, how come? We're also Nevi'im, and we're married. Why can't Moshe Rabbeinu be married? So we have a Zeich L'Dover. When Miriam was punished, it says, Shenemar, V'yaviyah Yorok Yorach before Neah, Halosi Kolem Shiva Shomim. Kosh Baruch Hu was not happy with the way Miriam had acted, and he put him into this situation where she was Mitzoras, and she had to be outside the Machaneh for 7 days, and therefore Oklai is all waited for. But you see, this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset with her, she was in a state of Nezifa, then it was 7 days. So therefore, you see from here, a Zecheldov. Now, it really was, because she had Saras, it wasn't a Nezifa, but we see from here this idea that to be upset with somebody, this period of Nezifa is a 7 day period of time. Similarly, Omer Chista, Nidui Shalanu, Ki Nezifa Shalahem. Ruchivis said here in Bavel, our Nidui, the amount of time that we put somebody in Nidui, is similar to the amount of time in Eretz Yisrael that they put somebody into Nezifa. And how much is that? Nezifa did who? Shiva. And they put somebody into this Nezifa status for a 7 day period of time. So, in other words, our Nidui is not 30 days here in Bavel, our Nidui is only for 7 days, similar to what they put somebody in Nezifa. Why should there be such a difference? So the Karen Oris says, because the Talmidei Chachamim Bavel were not smuchim. So therefore, it's not as big a chutzpah if somebody's chutzpahdik to them, as opposed to if you're chutzpahdik to somebody who has real smicha. In any event, that's what Rav Chisda said, that the Nidui in Bavel was only a 7 day Nidui, and that was the equivalent of the 7 day Nezifa that they had in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, really, Vesulo, and they didn't put them in for more than 7 days into Nidui in Bavel? It wasn't 30 days of Nidui in Bavel? I'll show you two mices with the great Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Anasi, that he put two people into Nidui for 30-day periods of time. So how can you say that our Nidui is only for 7 days, like the Nezif in Eretz Yisrael was only 7 days? What are the two mices? The following. The first one is as follows. Bar Rebbe Shimon by Rebbe, Rebbe's son Rebbe Shimon, Ubar Kapara. Now Bar Kapara was like a Talmud Chacham of Rebbe. and he would argue throughout Shas with Rebbe, but he was still a Talmud of Rebbe, so he was once sitting with Rav Shimon bar Rebbe, Rebbe's son, Havo Yasvik Ogarsi, and they were sitting and learning something, and Kashalu Shmaisa, and something was very difficult sugya, and they didn't know the answer to the questions they had on the sugya. So only Rabbi Shimon Bar Kapara. So Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi's son, said to Bar Kapara, we got to go ask my father. This one is so much above us that we need to ask my father. We can't figure this out on our own. And Bar Kapara replied in a little bit of a chutzpahdik fashion, but he didn't really mean to be chutzpahdik, but it came out a little bit chutzpahdik. Amalei Bar Kapara, Rabbi Shimon. So Bar Kapara said to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi's son, he said, my Rabbi, oh, maybe that was that. Even Rebbe won't be able to answer this kasha. This kasha is such a good question that nobody knows the answer to this, not even your father. Now, also, Omele Levua, Rabbi Shimon went, Rashi says he was Saper Lifnei Tumo. He wasn't going to specifically tell on Bar Kapara, but knew his father asked him, knew what you learned today. So he said, oh, we learned this really difficult sugya, and I didn't know the answer. I said, let's go ask you. And Bar Kapara said, no, even you wouldn't know the answer. So he was Mesiach Lifnei Tumo. He was just stopped talking, and he told his father what happened. Also, Omele Levua. So Ikbit, Rebbe was a little bit upset that Bar Kapara didn't think that he would be qualified to give the answer. Well, it wasn't really meant as a knock against Rebbe. Rebbe took it in a negative way, Ikbit, and he was upset that Bar Kapara said this. Eventually, also Bar Kapara lischazuyele. Next time Bar Kapara came in front of Rebbe, Amalei, Rebbe said to him, Bar Kapara, eni makircha miyolim. I don't want to see you. In other words, I don't recognize you. In other words, I'm upset about what you said, and therefore I'm letting you know that I'm unhappy with the way you spoke. So Yoda, the Noka Milkub Zate, obviously Bar Kapara figured things out. Bar Kapara was a huge Talmud Chacham. He realized that what he had said had upset Rebbe, and therefore, Noag Nizifuso Benafshei Tlos in Yomim. And he put himself into a Nizifa for 30 days. So how can you tell me, here's question number one, how can you tell me Nizifa in Eretz Yisrael, where Rebbe lived, was only 7 days? Here you see that he put himself, Bar Kapara put himself into Nizifa for a 30-day period of time. So that's Kasha number one from a Maisa with Rebbe. Kasha number two from a Maisa with Rebbe is as follows. Shuv pama acher, another time, Gozai Rebbe shelo yishnu latamid mashuk. Rebbe said, it's not proper for people to go and learn publicly in the marketplace. It degrades the learning of the Torah that it seems to be like this, by the way type of a thing, as opposed to a set kviyas shir in the Beis Medrash. So he told all of his talmidim, don't go learn in the marketplace in a fashion of giving a shir. My darash, where did Rebbe get this from? So he darshan the following pasuk from Shir HaShirim. And it says, Chamuke irechayich, the hidden treasures of your thighs, kamo chaloim, are like precious jewels. In other words, my yarech b'seser, just like a thigh is normally a private part of the body, it's not revealed, it's not shown, so too, we turn to Tzayin and Mudbeis, so too, at divrei Torah b'seser, the jewels, the divrei Torah, are also set over in a private setting, in a Beis Medrash, in a shir room, and not in a public marketplace. Rashi brings down the answer to this. In the top Rashi, it's on the Tosus side, the Tosus on this daf, on Tesayin Ovid Beis, and he says, Dechsib is safe, because the end of the pasuk says, Masa Yidei Uman, HaTorah Masa Yomnosu Shalakosh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means, Divrei Torah B'Seis. Okay, so what happened? Reb Chiya, who was a star pupil of Rebbe, nevertheless seemed to not follow this opinion of his Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. And Yosef Reb Chiya, Bishonu L'Shnei Bnei Echov Bashuk. And he taught two of his nephews in the Shuk. Who are these two nephews? L'Rav U'L'Rabba Barachana. He taught his two nephews. Now, Rav and Rabba Barachana were both nephews of him in a different way. They weren't from the same father. In fact, Rashi reminds us over here, Rashi the Ksiv Yad says it more specifically, that Rav was the son Bar Achua or Bar Achse de Rav Chiya. Rav was actually a nephew of Rav Chiya from two sides. Rav Chiya had a half-brother and a half-sister. Now, they were unrelated to each other. The half-brother was totally unrelated to this half-sister. They had different parents totally, but they ended up marrying. So Rav was the product of that marriage, and therefore he was a nephew on both his father's side. He was a half-brother to Rav Chiya, his father, and on his mother's side, who was a half-sister to Rav Chiya, on his mother's side. So he was a nephew on both sides. And then there was Rabba Bar Chana. Chana was another brother of Rav Chiya, and Rabba was a son through a different brother than Rav's father. Rav's father was Avu, and Rabba was the son of Bar Chana, another brother. So therefore, these two nephews of Rav Chiya were taught Torah by Rav Chiya in the marketplace. Shama Rebbe heard about this, and Ikbid, he was upset. How could my Talmud, Rav Chiya, go against my decree? So also Rabbi Chiya, l'schazay ulei, the next time Rabbi Chiya came to be with Rabbi, Rabbi tells him the similar thing. He says, Amalei, Iya. Now he made fun of Rabbi Chiya a little bit. Rabbi is allowed to make a little fun of a Talmud in order to spur him to do better. So he called him Iya because Rabbi Chiya elsewhere had trouble pronouncing the difference between an ayin and a ches. So therefore, instead of Rabbi Chiya, he called him Iya. So he said, Iya, mi kore l'cho b'chutz. Who's calling to you from the outside? In other words, he said, you're outside. I don't want you inside right now. You don't have permission to be inside. In other words, he was upset that Rabbi Chiya had gone against his teaching not to learn in the public. No. Yoda did not cut Milsa Bedate. Obviously, Ruchia recognized that he had somehow done something wrong to Rebbe by learning with his nephews. We'll explain in a moment why he did it, because he obviously wouldn't have gone against his Rebbe if he thought that he was doing something against his Rebbe. So therefore, here's the question. So he put himself into this nizuf, into this rebuke status for a 30-day period of time. And that is the end of this question, but we'll finish the story anyway. But you see clearly that Nizufa in Eretz Yisrael, where this story occurred, is 30 days. So these are the two kashas on Ruchista. How can you say that in Eretz Yisrael, the Nizufa is only 7 days? Here you see a second story from Eretz Yisrael, that the Nizufa is 30 days. But before we get to the answer to that question, let's finish off the story. So what happened over here is the 30th day, Yom Tlosin, Sholach Le, Rebbe sent to Ruchia, they talk, come back, you're forgiven. However, he then changed his mind, and he said, you don't paskin mikseh yom kekulo, I have to wait till the full 30 days are up, and therefore, he sent the second shliach after the first shliach, chodesh shalach lei, the lo lei, say, that you can't come yet, you can't come till tomorrow. But as we'll see, Rav Chiya only got the message from the first shliach, and came to Rabbi, he didn't get the message from the second shliach, somehow the second shliach didn't come to him. So, the Gemara says, meikara my sovar, ulbasov my kasovar, what did Rabbi change his mind? First he sent him back for the 30th day, and afterwards he didn't. So I already explained, he thought that as long as it's the 30th day, so as long as part of the 30th day is gone, that's good enough that the 30 days are over, and he sent for him. But then he realized, no, that applies by Avelis, but it doesn't apply over here. In this situation, you shouldn't apply this thing. So he told the second shliach, go tell him not to come till tomorrow. Nope. Rav Chiya didn't get the message from the second shliach, as we said, so Rav Chiya came immediately to his Rebbe. The Rebbe took him out of the Nazifa, so therefore he came right away. Amalei, am I Yosef? So Rebbe said to him, how come you came here? Didn't they tell you not to come? So Amalei, no, the shliach Imar Delesi. Didn't the Rebbe send me to come? I got the shliach, said that the Rebbe wanted me to come. But then Rebbe said, but the second shliach I said to come tomorrow, not to come today. So Rav Chiya says, Amalei, is there Isi, is there Isi? No, I only got the message from the first shliach, I didn't see the second shliach. So Rebbe smiled and he said, Kori Alei, Birtzos Hashem, Darach Yish, Gam Oivov Yashlim Ito. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds favor in somebody's eyes, like he found in the Rav Chiya found favor in his eyes, so even against his enemies, i.e. even against Rebbe, who put him into this Nazifa status, so it didn't hold out. And that he only got the message from the first shliach, and he came, and not the message from the second shliach. Now, in any event, what was each of their respective reasonings for Rebbe saying you shouldn't learn Torah in public, and Rav Chiya thinking that he was allowed to go learn Torah in public with his two nephews? So my time Ovid Mar Hochi, Rebbe asked Rav Chiya, why did you not follow what I said? So I'm late. Rav Chiya said to Rebbe, they said, because the pasuk says, Chochmos Bachutz Torona. He brings down the pasuk from Mishlei, where it says that you should go and have Torah wisdom Bachutz, you should sing it in the streets. So therefore, I thought you're appropriate to do so. Now, even though Rav Chiya thought this, how could he go against his Rebbe? So the Mefarshim explained that he thought, okay, Rebbe doesn't want public classes, but here I'm sitting with my two nephews, that's not like a public class, and that would be allowed. And he based it upon the fact that it says, Chochmos Bachutz Torona. So Amalei, Rebbe said to Rav Chiya, even though you learned this once, im karitza lo shenisa, you didn't learn it twice. You didn't learn it properly. Im shenisa, even if you learned it twice, lo shilashta, you didn't learn it a third time. And even if you learned it a third time, im shilashta, lo perushulcha, you didn't learn it properly. Because chochem v'chutz tarona should be understood like Rava learned it. Now, Rava lived many generations later, but it's an idea that Rava expressed many generations later, so we call it by Rava's name, even though it was well known during the time of Rebbe. So chochem v'chutz tarona is be understood like Rava said it. The Amar Rava, Rava said, kol osik b'torah mi bifnim, taraso machrezes alav mi b'chutz. If somebody becomes a big time chochem, he learns Torah in the Beis Medrash, so the Psak Halacha that he gives will be well known outside the Beis Medrash, or his fortune and fame will be well known outside the Beis Medrash. Everybody will say, oh, such is a Talmud Chacham. That's what it means, Chochmos Bachutz Torona, that they'll sing about you, they'll praise you in the streets because of your great Chochmah from the Beis HaMedrash. The Gemara says, Voksiv Lo Merosh Baseser Dibarti. There's a pasuk in Shai, which is talking about Matan Torah, and it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give this in silence, in secrecy. This was given all over the whole world to see. So the Gemara says, no, that's a reference, how will be Yom HaDekala. The time when it's appropriate to teach in public, that's the Yom HaDekala. What they used to do is they used to learn a Masechta. This is the original Daf Yomi, before every Yontif, before Pesach and before Sukkot, they learned the Masechta. Rav Ashi went through two cycles of this. There were 30-year cycles. There were roughly 60 Masechtas, and they would go through two every year. So in 30 years, they would go through all of Shas, and then they repeated it again. That's why you sometimes will have Rav Ashi during his Madura Kama and his Madura Basra. The first time he went around, the second time he went around, that was the Yomi Dekala. So therefore, that can be done in public. But otherwise, what Rebbe was saying is that you should learn in private. You should learn in the Beis Medrash. You should learn in a more b'chavadik center rather than learning out in the marketplace. And that's why Rebbe enacted his decree. No, what was Rav Chiya thinking? After all, the pasuk said, Chamuke Yirechayich. What did he do with that pasuk? Rav Chiya, Hai Chamuke Yirechayich, my Ovid Leh. How did he learn that pasuk? So Muki Lo Bitzidaka Ugmilas Chasodim. He said that which should be hidden should be that you were giving tzedakah. When you're doing chesed, that shouldn't be publicized for the whole world to know. You should let your family know, my Rebbeim always taught me, but a lot of dafka that the whole world has to know. So therefore, when you're giving tzedakah, should be done Mesesa. Matan Mesesa is a higher level. Ugmilas Chasodim, where the person isn't put in an embarrassing position that people have to do chesed for him and everybody knows about it. So then that's to be done b'seisa. That's what it means, chamukei rechayich. But learning Torah, he felt that it should be done in public. Now, what do we see? Now we finally get to our question that we said. We wrote down the two cases from Rebbe, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, that Nazifa, there you see, was not 7 days, it was 30 days. Alma Nazifa, the two, the loss in Yomen. So Kasha on Rav Chisda, how could he say that Nazifa and Eretz Yisrael is only 7 days? So Gemara says, no, this is different. Rav Yehuda Nasi was Rebbe, he was the great Nasi of Klai Yisrael, Nazifas Nasi Shiny. That was 30 days. But the typical Nazifa in Eretz Yisrael was not 30 days, was 7 days. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Unazifa didon kamahave. So if in Eretz Yisrael the Nazifa was only 7 days, and we said that our Nidui was their equivalent of Nazifa, so we only have a Nidui for 7 days. So how long is our Nazifa in Babel? Unazifa didon kamahave. Gemara says, how long was Nazifa in Babel? So Gemara says, Chad Yoma, only 1 day. And we'll have three stories that show that that Nazifa is for 1 day in Babel. The first one is, Kiha, the Shmuel Umar Ukva. It's from the following Maisa that happened between Shmuel and Mar Ukva. Shmuel was the greater Talmud Chacham, but Mar Ukva had a position as the Av Beis Din. So under certain circumstances, and in general, Mar Ukva was subordinate to Shmuel, but when Mar Ukva functioned as the head of the Beis Din, so then Shmuel was subordinate to him during that period of time. So, Kiavu Yasve Gorsi Shmaisa, when the two of them would learn together, so Shmuel was the greater Talmud Chacham, so Havi Yosef Mar Ukva Kamei de Shmuel Berichu Karbama, so he stood 4 amos away from Shmuel, giving cover to the Rebbe, so he didn't go right on top of him, but since Shmuel was the Rebbe, and Mar Ukva was like the Talmud, so therefore, he stood 4 amos away from him. However, when they were sitting in the Beis Din, then, where Mar Ukva was the Av Beis Din, so then Shmuel was subordinate to him. So then Shmuel was in the more subordinate position, standing or sitting more than Dalet Amos away from Mar Ukva. Now, Mar Ukva still wanted to hear Shmuel's opinion, so Vavachaikile duchto le Mar Ukva betzivsa, the Yosef Ilabe kihechid lishtamon mile. So, Mar Ukva, there's a couple of different ways to understand this. Either he dug a lower place and therefore he was lower down and therefore he could hear Shmuel, like Shmuel would be speaking into his ear, or he was in a higher place and he was, however, near Shmuel, so Shmuel would be able to guide him and advise him as was needed. So, in any event, Mar Ukva sat in the more superior position in this situation, albeit he dug out some sort of hole, the simple understanding, and she put a mat on top of it so he would be very near to Shmuel so he could hear what Shmuel had to tell him in case he wanted to give him additional advice or Torah thoughts on a specific case that they were judging. Nope. Every day after they sat and based in together, so when they would leave the based in, so Shmuel would go first, and Marukva would be malavim until he reached his hotel, until he reached his lodging, his ushpize. Yom Achad, one day, however, itrid bedine. Mar Ukva was so caught up in thinking about a din Torah that they had, Havi also Shmuel Basre, that he forgot to let Shmuel go first, and he walked first, and Shmuel followed along behind him. Kimot Lebeise, when they reached Mar Ukva's house, instead of going, I guess, to Shmuel's Ushbize, Mar Ukva was so entrenched in his thoughts, he didn't realize what he was doing, so he gets to his house. So Shmuel says to him, Nu, Amale, lo negaloch. What you did over here is clear as the light, and the guy's light. So your actions are very clear to me. So you're obviously being somewhat disrespectful over here. So Lishri Li Mar Betigre. Nu, let me go and leave now. It's enough. We had this this lack of covered for me. So now I'm asking permission to leave. Even a Rebbe, when he leaves his Talmud, should tell him, I'm leaving now. So therefore, he says, I'm going to my house, let me leave. Obviously, Maruf will realize now what had happened. Yoda, the Noka Milsa Badate, he saw that Shmuel had been hurt, and that he was Chutz B'diktum. So Nohag the Nezivusa, he took upon himself Nezifa B'Nafshe, for himself, Chajava, one day. So here you see clearly, case number one, that Nezifa and Bava was only one day. We have two more stories. Next story. Ha'itza, the Havas Yosef B'Shvila, there once was a woman who was at the crossroads on the road, and Hava Poshto Kara, and she stuck out her leg, and people couldn't pass, because she was working over there. She was going and shelling some barley seeds that was going and needed to spread out, and she stuck her legs out, and it blocked people. One time, a young Talmud Chacham came by there, below Ikana Mikame, and she didn't pull her foot back and allow him to pass. So that was a chutzpahdik act on her part. So Omar, so this Talmud Chacham said, Kama chatziva hi, so how chutzpahdik is this woman that she didn't let me go by? I had to walk around it, so to say, when she should have pulled her leg back, let me go by. Now, this woman was a wonderful woman. She wasn't a bad woman. She, Mustama, didn't see that he had come by. So she went to ask Rav Nachman, also the Kamer de Rav Nachman, she went to ask Rav Nachman, did he put me in Chayim or not? Because he was saying that I act the chutzpahdik way. So the next thing that normally happens is that I'm in Chayim. So she wanted to know, am I in Chayim or not? So that's what she went to ask Rav Nachman. I saw the commander of Nachman. She went to ask Rav Nachman this Shaila. So Amal also Rav Nachman says to her, did you hear him say the word Shamto or Nidoy or something like that? Mi Shamis Shamto mi Pume, did you hear him say that you're in Shamta? So she said, no. Amalei, no, I didn't hear him say that. So then Rav Nachman paskin for Amalei. He said to her, so zili nahogi nezivusa chad yoma b'nafshech. So go take upon yourself a nezifa, this type of a rebuke for one day, and in this way, you will fulfill the concept of nezifa. Oh, story number two. You see, nezifa in Bava was one day. And the third and last story is Zutra Bar Tuvia. He was the name of a person. Have a kaposik sidra kamed Rav Yehuda. He would learn his psukim in front of Rav Yehuda, and he would be mesader the psukim and darshan them in front of Rav Yehuda. One time he reached the pasuk. This is a pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Kimotel hai psuka, where the pasuk says ve'ele divrei David ho'achronim. The pasuk says these are the last words of David. So he asks Rav Yehuda the following question. He says, Amalei, Zutra, Bartuvia, says to Rav Yehuda, it says over here, Ela Divrei David HaAchronim. These are Achronim, the last words, and this is implying that it's a Nevuah. Normally, the word Divrei implies a Nevuah. So he says, Mechal, the Iker Rishonim. That implies that these are the last Nevuah of David. What is the first Nevuah of David? Rishonim, Maininu. I don't find anywhere that it says that David was a Navi before this. So why is it called this David HaAchronim, implying that they're Rishonim? What are those Rishonim? So Rav Yehuda didn't answer Zutra Bar Tuvia. Shosik, v'lo amalei, v'lo midi. He didn't say anything. He didn't know the answer. Zutra Bar Tuvia did not realize it was because Rav Yehuda didn't know the answer. He thought Mestami didn't hear him. So Hader amalei, he says to him, again, the same question. Eile divrei David ha'achronim. It says the word acharonim, mechal de'ikar rishonim, implying that they're rishonim. Rishonim mayi. Where do we find that David was menave earlier? Now Rav Yehuda was upset. Amalei said to him, "My daitchok, the lo yoda perusha v'haykro lav gabra rabuhu. Are you saying because I don't know the answer to your question that I'm suddenly not your rebbe anymore? I'm not a gabra rabba. I didn't know the answer to this question. What are you bothering me for?" So in any event, Zutra Bar Tuvia saw that he had embarrassed Rav Yehuda. He had done something wrong. So therefore, yoda denokat milso b'daitei. He saw that he had done something wrong to Rav Yehuda, and he took upon himself noag nezifusa b'nafshei. He took upon himself nezifa, and again, chad yoma for one day. So from these three stories, we clearly see that nezifa and bava is a one-day nezifa. By the way, this was a good kasha, though. The Zutra Bar Tuvia asked Rav Yehuda, so what is the answer? The da'ason Allah, now that we came to this, mia, nu, achronim, mechladika, rishonim, mahi. This was a good kasha that the Zutra Bar Tuvia asked. What is the answer? Where do we find that David was misnavi earlier? So Gemara says, no, that's a misunderstanding. The words, Ela divrei David ha'achronim, doesn't imply that David now was misnavi the last time, and there was a first time. No, it says these are the last words of David because the first words of David were a mistake. And this is talking about a conversation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, had with David HaMelech about Shaul. And it says, Vayedaber David Lashem es divrei hashira hazos, b'yom yitzil Hashem oso mikav kol oivav u mikav Shaul. David was speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and singing a shira that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had delivered him from the hands of his enemy, of Shaul. And Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu to David. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not happy that David was singing a shira about the downfall of Shaul. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech, you think Shaul was a gurnish, a nothing? David, shira tomer amar palaso shaul, you're singing a song of happiness, of shira, that Shaul had his downfall? That's not the way it is. Shaul was a huge Talmud Chacham. Shaul was greater than you. Ilmale ata Shaul v'hu David. If you had been born under the mazel of Shaul, whatever that exactly means, and if Shaul had been born under your mazel, whatever that exactly means, in other words, if it had been that Shaul had your mazel and you had Shaul's mazel, then Shaul would be singing about your downfall. Shaul's greater than you. Ilmale ata Shaul v'hu David, ibadeti kama David mi b'fanov. If that had been the way it was supposed to have turned out with the mazel, so then Shaul would have defeated many Davids. You were Zolcha to defeat Shaul. But don't think that it's because Shaul wasn't a great person. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world. We can't understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways work, but Shaul was a great, great tzaddik. The Gemara and Yuma tells us that he was perfect from head to toe. He was a person without any kupa shrotzim. David HaMelech had a kupa shrotzim in his closet. He had his whole questionable lineage. And Shaul was perfect. And as a result, Shaul ended up having his downfall because he was too good. He was too perfect in some ways. In any event, Haynu Dusiv, this is what it now means when it says, Shigayon LeDavid. David says, I made a shigayon, I made a mistake. It was what I was originally singing about the downfall of Shaul was a mistake. And that's what it means, divrei David v'achronim. These last words of David are correcting his earlier words when he sang about Shaul's downfall that was wrong. He says, shigayon l'David, I made a mistake. Shigayon is a big word for him to say. Adivrei Kush ben Yamini. He called Shaul Kush ben Yamini. Yamini means he came from Shevet Binyamin. And Kush, we're now going to explain why he was called Kush. Mor says, V'chi Kush Shemo, was his name Kush? V'lo Shaul Shemo, his name was Shaul. Why do we call him Kush ben Yamini? So, Elama Kushi Mishune Be'oro, Av Shaul Mishune Be'maisav. Just like a Kushi is an Ethiopian, a dark-skinned person, was unusual in the Mediterranean to have such dark skin. They had darker skin, but they didn't have such dark skin like the Kushi, so it was unusual. So too, Shaul was called a Kushi because he was unusual, Mishune Be'maisav. He was so great in his maisav, in his actions, in his deeds, that's why was called Kush. That's what the name Kush represents. So we have somebody who's unusual, somebody who's very, very special. And we find this uses of Kush in a number of different places. Kayosi b'davar atomer. We similarly find by Miriam, it says, Aldoso isho ha-kush is ha-shalokach. When she spoke to Lashon Hara that put her into the Nazifa for the 7 days, she had Saras for 7 days. So it says she spoke to Aaron about what Moshe Rabbeinu did with the Kush is ha-shalokach, with his wife, the Kushis. So Gemara says, was her name Kushis? Follow Tzipar Shema. Her name was Tzipar. Why did she call her Kushis? Ella, Ma Kushis Mishuna Ba'ora, Av Tzipar Mishuna Ba'maisel. Just like, again, a Kushi is unusual in the color of his skin, so too, Tzipar was very, very unusual in a very positive way in her maisim, in her actions, in all of the things that she did. Similarly, Kayos B'dav Ratomer, we find similarly, Ba'ishma Eved Melech HaKushi. He's called Eved Melech HaKushi. So, was he Kushi who? Was his name Kushi? V'chi Kushi Shemo? This is a pasuk referring to Tzidkiyo, the great king Tzidkiyo, the Lord Tzidkiyo Shemo. So why was he called Kushi? Elamah Kushi Mishuna Be'oro, Av Tzidkiyo Mishuna Be'maisav. So too over here, a Kushi is unusual in his skin color, so too Tzidkiyo is very, very unusual in his great actions in his Maisim Tovim. Finally, the last example that we give, Kayosi V'dov Rato Omer. Here we find the word Kushi is used in an unusual sense, but in a negative way. Kayosi V'dov Rato Omer, Halo Kivnei Kushi Ematem Li. Now the gears that we have is Bayis, but it should be Bnei Yisrael, the famous Haftorah. Al-Chi Kushiim Shimon, Al-Kai Yisrael Kushiim, Halo Yisrael Shimon. We're called Kai Yisrael. So why are we called Kinev Kushiim? So again, Elama Kushi Mishuna Bi'oro, Af Yisrael Mishunim B'maseim Mikolo Umos. Here it's in a negative way. Just like the Kushi is unusual, so to Kli Yisrael is unusual. The rest of the world, they stay with their gods. Even if their gods don't do anything for them, their Avodah Zarah are worthless and baseless. Nevertheless, they stick with their Avodah Zarah. But Kli Yisrael, the Lord HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who of course is the Melech Malchei Amlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nevertheless, we reject him and we took their idols. In any event, we see that the Kushi means something unusual and something that is different than everything else. And therefore, that's why Shaul was called Kush, because he was so unusual in his mice. Then Gemara says, "I'm Rishu Bar Nachmani, I'm Rav Yonasan." Rishu Bar Nachmani said, "I'm Rav Yonasan." What does the pasuk mean? It says, "Neum David ben Yishai unum agever who come all." This strange lashon of who come all. What does that mean? So, Neum David ben Yishai shehekim ula shot tshuva. He taught us tshuva by his actions over here. But he says, "Shigayon leDavid." So he showed us, and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us the famous idea that anybody says David Melech sin, it's incorrect. And in fact, he's the paradigm of doing tshuva. So this hukam ol is, he's saying to us here, he showed us the great, tremendous beauty and benefit of doing tshuva. Mark continues and says, Amar Elokei Yisrael li diber tzur Yisrael Moshe bodom tzadik Moshe yiras Elokim. A unusual pasuk that we have from Shmuel Beis. So we're going to dash in this pasuk now. My comment, how do we understand this pasuk in this drasha? Amar Rebivo, Halki comment. This is where we understand the drasha. It says, Amar Elokei Yisrael li diber tzur Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am the tzur Yisrael, and I have spoken to Klai Yisrael, ani Moshe bodom, I rule over people, mi Moshe be. But who rules over me? Kaviyochel, does somebody rule over HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yes, the tzaddik rules over HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shani gozer gzera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am gozer a certain gzera, but by a tzaddik davening, he can give me mevatlev, or mevatla. We have another pasuk that we're going to darsh now, also from Shmuel Beis. Elishmos hagi borim asher, ledovid yoshe b'sheves v'gomer. The end of this pasuk is, the v'gomer is, kach kimoni, Rosh HaSholishi, Hu Adino Ho'etzni, Al Shmona Meos Cholol B'Fam Echos. We're going to dash in this entire pasuk as well. My comment, what does this pasuk mean? So again, we're not learning this literally, we're darshening it. And the Amar Rav Yevo says, Hachikom, this is what the pasuk means. Ve'lishmos Givu Rosh Shel David. These are the following names that signify great deeds that David HaMelech did. Yoshev Bashevis. Why? Because he was Yoshev Bashevis. What does it mean, Yoshev Bashevis? He sat in a very low position. Bishosha Yoshev Yeshiva, when he was sitting in the yeshiva learning, Lo Yoshev Al Gabi Karim Kusasos. He wouldn't sit on top of these various pillows and cushions that normally the Rosh Yeshiva would sit upon. El Gabi Kaka, he sat on the floor. And this was based upon his following experience. The Kokama, the Haba Rabbe, Ira, HaYoiri Kayam, when his Rebbe, Ira, HaYoiri, was the Rosh Yeshiva, so David would sit subordinate to him like everybody else. Have a master, lula rabbanon, agabi karmic sasos. So Ira HaYoiri, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Rebbe, he would sit upon these karmic sasos, and everybody else sat on the floor in front of him. When he passed away, kinoch nafshei, when Ira HaYoiri passed away, a master David the rabbanon. So David became the Rosh Yeshiva. Baba Yosef al gabi karka, but he still sat on the ground. He didn't sit on the karmic sasos. Armule lemesa lesiv mara karmic sasos. They told him, "No, you're the Rosh Yeshiva. You should sit now on the pillows and the cushions." So lo kabalei. He said, "No, that's not for me." He was very, very humble. That's what it means. Yoshev Bashevis. Then it says tach kimoni. The pasuk says tach kimoni. What do we darshan that? I'm a rab. I'm a kodesh baruch hu. Kodesh baruch said to David Melech, "Hoel vishpal to atzlucha." Tehei kamoni. Since you lowered yourself, you humbled yourself, tach kimoni is a play on the words, tehei kamoni, you shall be like me. Shani gozer, gzera, vata mevatla. That I give you the powers that I say to be mevatla my gzeras. You're like me, that you can do certain things. I'm gozer, gzera, and I give you the permission, I give you the koyach to be mevatla. That's what tach kimoni, tehei kamoni, you're like me. We continue dashing in the pasuk. It says Rosh HaSholishim. So Tehei Rosh L'Shlosh HaSavos. You'll be at the head of even the three patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. And Mashor brings down the famous Medrash that in the future there will be this great Seuda. Gemara in Pesachim tells us that they're going to have all the great Gedolei Yisrael of all time, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David. They're all going to be there, and they're going to say, who's going to lead the benching? And each of them is going to say, no, I can't lead the benching, and David's going to end up leading the benching. So he'll be the Rosh L'Shlosh HaSavos. We continue to actually in the pasuk. It says, "Hu Adino Ho Etzni." What is this a reference to? So he was Adino and Etzni. David HaMelech was Kishe Yoshev Osik B'Torah Hayom Adin Atzol Kisolas. When he was sitting and learning Torah, he humbled himself. He bent himself like a worm. However, we went out to the battle, then he was like a thick oak. Hayom Makshat Smok Eitz, and he was like a strong tree. We continue dashing. It says, "Ashmona Meos Cholo B'Pamaychos," that David HaMelech would be able to stand over 800 dead bodies at once. Sheyazorik Kaitz, he would shoot an arrow. Umapu Shmona Meos Cholo B'Pamaychos, and with one arrow, he would kill 800 soldiers. But that still wasn't good enough for him. He was upset that he didn't kill 1,000. Vayimis Anach, he sighed and was sad. Al Mosayim, the extra 200 from 800 to 1,000 that he wasn't able to kill with a single blow, because the pasuk says, "Dichsiv Echad Yudov Echad Elef." The pasuk in Dvarim tells us that eventually, Klai Yisrael would be able to go and kill 1,000 enemies, and David was upset that he only killed 800. So, why was this? This is because on some level, David did something wrong with Uri Achiti, that he caused him to be killed, and he then married Bathsheba, his widow. He did something wrong. Again, anybody says David Melo committed adultery, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says it's totally wrong. Yet, on some level, David did something wrong, and that's why he lost. Instead of being able to kill 1,000 with one blow, he only was able to kill 800 with one blow. Now we go back to Darshan more about the Nidui and the Chayrim. Amr Rebbe Tanchum, Rebbe Rebbe Chia, Ish Kar Akko, Amr Rebbe Yaakov Baracha, he said the following. Amr Rebbe Simloi, he said the name of Rebbe Simloi, Amr Rebbe Tanchum, Amr Rebbe Huna, Amr Rebbe Huna, Luchudei. Whoever it was that said this, he said as follows, we turn to Yud Zayin Amad Aleph. Talmud she nido lichvodo. If a Talmud put somebody into nidui because that person had been chutz medik to him, so that nidui v'nidui. This is a good nidui. The Tanya, as we learned in the Brisa, menuda l'rab, menuda l'tam. We had this early in the Shia that if the Rebbe put somebody into nidui, so the person is a nidui for all the tamidim. However, menuda l'tam. If the Talmud put somebody in lav dafka ainu menuda l'rab, but nevertheless l'rab hu deinu menuda ha l'kuli amo menuda. But he is a nidui. The person is a nidui, although the Rebbe doesn't have to follow that nidui. Now, Lamai, what are we talking about? Ibn Mi Ledishmai, if you're talking about he did something chutz v'diktu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Chochma v'ein Tvura, v'ein Tzad Neged Hashem. So then, the Rav should also have to be accepting this nidui. If a person went against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he went against something in the Torah, so of course, the Rav would also be forced to go. Ella, lav, lichvod, atzmo. Obviously, it was this Talmud, his own personal chutzpah that was done against him, and therefore, it doesn't necessarily follow that the Rav will go along. With this, we conclude today's share.